It dawned on me earlier that if we have another flash flood warning and our phones all warn us, we will be the most warned we could ever be of a dangerous situation. And it would be quite an orchestra in here, right, of those sirens going off. It's a little extra challenging today, church. Any of y'all have to try to remember the words to some songs up here, right? Had some words were missing. So you improvise. We kept on, though, right? We worship in spirit and truth. Sometimes the spirit keeps on and the mind just does the best it can. For those of you who may not know, on days like this, it is particularly nice that this building was built with a carport over here. Guys, you can score major points with your ladies. Drive them through there and drop them off, right? So just a courtesy announcement there. Appreciate the greeters. Anyone get help? I didn't have to fix my hair again when I came in because Mark, you're out, wherever Mark is, walked me in with an umbrella. Any of y'all get umbrella courtesy assistance this morning? That's pretty good. Pretty nice. I found some old, of course, tonight starts VBS, and I found, this is flashback, 2005. Some of y'all don't even remember 2005. 2005. How about this? Been a little bit ago. That's our church secretary, if you don't recognize her. How about these three? One of these is home with a gash in his leg. I heard about Richard injured his leg. A young Hannah Forbes. How about this guy? Nice. I like that one. Got a young Natalie there. How about a young Megan Weathers? And a Sydney. One of Sydney's first memories is the following year's VBS when we did green shirts with the alien head on the front when we had a theme about aliens. And that's one of her first life memories, which I think is pretty good. Megan, Michaela, Emily. All right. Does that take you back? Back a few years? You know, when we put on a VBS, it takes all of us. And honestly, church, it's one of the things that through the years, this church family has done really well. We get a lot of feedback, a lot of compliments on the VBS that we do. It's one week that we pull out all the stops. It takes all of us. The decorations, if you think you're amazed by this, come tonight and we're going to have a rocket ship here with smoke coming out the bottom of it, right? Courtesy of our very own Casey Chester. So I'm looking forward to seeing the rocket tonight. But VBS is a big deal. It takes a lot of work. And part of what I want to do today is just remind us in this sermon, why do we do so much? Why do we work so hard? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. My stopwatch just now started, so I get bonus minutes preaching today. Just kidding. I'll try to factor that in. All right. We're going to talk about Samuel today. The character Samuel. If you think about him as a Bible character, maybe the main thing you think of regarding Samuel is how, as a boy, he was given by his mother to to the priest and to grow up serving in the tabernacle. But I want to share a few more things with you about Samuel. So chapter 2:11, this is, chapters 1 and 2, we read about a mother, Hannah, and she could not have children. She was barren and she desperately wanted a child. She prayed to God that if he would give her a boy, that she would dedicate him to God and his ministry all of his life. And so God does that, and that boy is Samuel, and he's given to Eli the priest. He serves at the tabernacle. 1 Samuel 2:26 says, "The boy Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor with the Lord and also with man." It's the same kind of wording that the Bible talks about Jesus when he was young. He continued to grow in favor with God and man. I think as we train our children, most of us train our children fairly well with the intent of we want them to get along with man. We want them to get along with their peers. We want them to grow up and be, you know, a good coworker, a good neighbor, right? And so when they act bratty as a child, we try to we try to discipline that out of them. We try to get them to realize some boundaries and how to behave and how to be courteous and how to share, how to be a good fellow human being, right? And so that's on our radar. But I want to remind us that the other aspect of this is, do we train our children to be in favor with God? And that's a reminder today, church, as we raise our children, that we want them to behave because of if your children grow up to be brats, this world's not going to like them. No one likes a grown brat. But remember also, what's even more important is, how does my child get along with Almighty God? Are they in favor with God? That's important. Samuel grew in that in his younger years. 1 Samuel 3:19 says, says that he grew and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. So this is Samuel as a prophet. And verse 20 says, all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. Dan to Beersheba, we're talking about the northernmost city in Palestine and the southernmost. And this is, we would say in America, we would say from coast to coast, New York to L.A. So this is grown Samuel now. He's a prophet. And the Bible says none of his words fell to the ground. And what that speaks to is that God had told his people, the way you can tell a true prophet from a false prophet is a true prophet, if he prophesies a future event, if he speaks of a future event, it will come true if he's a true prophet. And that's how you are to judge him. If his words don't come true, that means they fall to the ground, then he's not a prophet. And so Samuel, all of his prophecies came true because he was a prophet of God. I would say, it's kind of odd when you hear the words major prophet, minor prophet. Samuel's a major prophet, but maybe not like you might think. The Bible's separated into what's called, Bible school, at a university, a young preaching student, I remember learning the first time that a major prophet in Scripture is not, the distinction between major and minor is the length of the book in the Bible. It's just a way to kind of organize books of the Bible. So the longer ones that we have, Jeremiah is a long one, Isaiah is a long one. The longer ones, they're major, and the short ones, Jonah, he's a minor. Why? Because his book's short. Anyway, so it's not the degree of influence that they had. So I'm speaking to how much influence they had over God's people. And Samuel was major. He was also a judge. Chapter 7, verse 15, he judged Israel all the days of his life. You may remember that before God gave Israel kings, he gave them judges, and he wanted to be their king. And finally, the people pressed God and pressed God and pressed God, and God gave them their wish, although it came with curses, and that is the first king, Saul. But Samuel was the last judge. And then Psalm 99 even speaks about him. He was also a priest. So Samuel was a judge, he was a prophet, he was a priest. And I want us to consider three lessons that we learned from watching Samuel's life growing up. Things that we can take away from studying about Samuel. And the first one is, and this is what kids need. And the first thing kids need is they need to be believed in. And we're going to spend some time with children this week at VBS. And we do other times as a church as we, teach our children. We have different activities. But kids need someone to believe in them, don't they? And I have a great video that I've seen recently. If you've not seen this, it's a real treat. But I want to share this video.
Bring it up hard and bring it down fast.
Hard and fast. Let's go, boy.
Don't fall. You got to stay on your feet. Come on.
You can do it.
Hallmark movies don't make me cry, but that right there, I bawl my eyes out. That's big league. I love it. What a difference it makes when someone believes in you. And what a difference it makes for a child growing up to be believed in, to have someone believe in them. And when we look at Samuel growing up, look at this. Elkanah went home. This is his father to Ramah, and the boy was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli the priest. The boy was ministering. The boy was ministering. He was serving. He was believed in. He wasn't just at the tabernacle taking out the trash. He wasn't just at the tabernacle, on a ride along. He wasn't just witnessing. He wasn't just taking notes. He wasn't just studying. He was ministering. And it's a reminder to us that our children, they need to be believed in. They need to be given opportunities to serve. And church, you do great at this. I've seen, our amazing ladies had an event where they took our children to Green Tree and served and let them serve and let them bless someone else. You do it at Monday Night for the Master with our children. Our grade school kids serve in different ways throughout the year. Recently, our teens went and helped with some flood clean out. And it's wonderful. Tonight, our teens will help with VBS. They will serve. And I have an announcement. This would normally be announced at the end. But this is a perfect time to announce this. And that is where we will now start to utilize our young 14-year-olds and up to help in the nursery as junior nursery workers. Okay, we can use their help, and they can serve. And so it's a, my point here is that just because our youngsters are not of age doesn't mean they can't minister to God or serve someone. And so if you are a 14-year-old or older and you would like to help in the nursery, please talk to Kristen Tucker because we'll do some training with them. She'll do some training, but we'll get them also scheduled to help. It's a beautiful thing to see young people growing up in God, in His kingdom, serving. Isn't it? It's a beautiful thing. Church, we need to believe in them. We need to show them that we believe in them. Along with this is, notice that all this started because Samuel was given to God. He was given to God for training, and we will have upwards of 100 children given to us this week at VBS. Historically, we'll have 2 from the community for every one of ours here, just in a 2-to-1 ratio. You talk about an opportunity. I mean, VBS is a lot of work, but look at what we get. We get children that otherwise we would not have that influence on, and we can spend all week with them. We'll spend 5 days with them, and we can plant seeds that God will water and that will grow into an amazing, amazing servants of God in the kingdom. Whatever you do this week, and this is really the message of this sermon, whatever you do this week with VBS, remember whatever challenges there are. And anytime we try to do an activity or a program of this size, when you're working with other Christians, there are challenges, aren't there? Right? There are headaches, there are frustrations, there are struggles. No two people will do the same thing exactly the same way. And we work as a team. And so whatever struggles we face, remember why we're doing it. Remember the privilege that it is to plant seeds in these young minds. All right, number 2, children. Kids need to be taught how to have a relationship with God. You remember this story, the way it kind of unfolds is young Samuel, he's at the tabernacle with Eli, and it's bedtime, they're sleeping, and Samuel hears a voice. And he runs into where Eli is, and he says, "Yes, what do you want?" Eli says, "I didn't say anything, I didn't call for you, go back to bed." He goes back to bed, hears it again, he goes, "Eli, what? Eli says, "I'm not calling you. Go back to bed." All right? They do this 3 times. And then finally, Eli understands what's happening. And he tells Samuel this. He says, go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And we know from reading this, or from here, if you've never heard this before, God speaks to him a fourth time, and Samuel, he says, you know, speak, Lord, I'm listening. And God tells him what's about to happen, and it's actually bad news for Eli. It's judgment. But this is kind of Samuel's beginning of being a prophet for God, a mediator, or a not a mediator, but the voice of God to mankind. And it starts by Eli telling him wisely, if God is speaking, you listen. And our message for our children need to be taught how to have a relationship with Almighty God. They need to be taught how to pray. They need to be taught how to listen. They need to be taught, and what I mean by listen is they need to be taught God is speaking, and He's speaking through this book. He's speaking through the Holy Word of God. And God is trying to have a relationship with us. And the question is, and I ask young people, the question is, do I want a relationship with God? As parents, the greatest thing a parent or grandparent can teach a young one is how to have a relationship with God. Because you're going to need that relationship. And because that's the only way to heaven is a relationship with God, a saving relationship. It's not just that our kids know about God. Can they walk with God? Can they learn? Can they study? Can they open this and find God's message for them? And that's our goal in raising our children, is they need a relationship with God. Kids need to be, they need to be seen as today's servants and tomorrow's leaders. And this is something I haven't always looked at children this way. But, you know, think about this. So with Samuel was, he was a great judge of Israel. He was the last judge. He was a great prophet. He was a priest. He's referred to in a variety. I want to share three scriptures here, which kind of show us what kind of man Samuel was. What did he become? And 1 Samuel 9:6 says, behold, there's a man of God in the city, and he is a man who is held in honor. And all he says comes true. Let us go there. Perhaps he can tell us the way we should go. Just a reference to seeking out a man of God. And it talks about the honor that Samuel was given. He was an amazing man of God, an amazing prophet. Chapter 12, verse 19 says, all the people said to Samuel, pray for your servants to the Lord your God that we may not die, for we have added to all our sins this evil, asking for a king. That's what the people did, and they come to Samuel asking him to mediate. And Samuel does. In fact, this is referenced. There's a great passage in Jeremiah. So you fast forward a while to the place where Jeremiah is a prophet, and God's not going to relent. And God makes this statement. He says, I would not feel sorry. This is New Century Version. I would not feel sorry for the people of Judah, even if Moses and Samuel prayed for them. So when you think of major mediators, or those that went to ask for mercy on behalf of God's people, Moses did that twice. God was going to destroy the whole nation, wipe them out and start over. And Moses begged God twice not to. And God relented. And Samuel is another one that did the same thing. Samuel is a major character in Scripture. But when he was a boy, how was he viewed? And this is the message of this sermon, is our children, I have had in the past, and I still wrestle with this some, but I tend to look at kids as kids. I tend not to look at them as what they will be, or what God is trying to make out of them, or what God is doing with them, even at a young age. And that's why they need to be seen as today's servants. We don't need to wait to let our kids serve. Amen? They need to be seen as today's servants. They will be tomorrow's leaders. When I first came here as a youth minister, we had a house to rent, but it was 2 weeks before. There was a window there where we were here, but our house wasn't ready. So we had 2 weeks. And the Sissons graciously put us up. They were converting their garage into a part of their living, you know, part of the home, renovating it to be a den or a living room. And so Stephanie and I lived in there in that room for the first 2 weeks we were here. And I remember just a couple memories about that. Jared and Becca Sissom, right? And I remember one time going in Becca's room and her apologizing for how messy it was, and I could not find a single thing out of place. So these people were neat and tidy, okay? But the other thing I remember is Karen telling Becca and Jared, leave them alone, about Stephanie and I. They weren't bugging us, but, you know, Karen was worried that maybe they're just curious children. And at that age, I didn't see Becca like I see her today. And I want to talk about two ladies, and I didn't give them a heads up, so pray for them right now, because no one likes it when the preacher talks about you. No one. When this whole flood thing broke loose and we were trying to set up this relief center, one of the first things we had to do to have people working, it was a coordinator of workers. And Becca comes to the forefront, and I've seen her serve time and again in different ways with a servant heart, passionate to help the kingdom in some way. And I see that now, and when she was a child, that was there then. Does that make sense, church? That soldier was there. They were just growing. And we need to see our kids that way. We need to understand, we need to believe in them. We need to see what they're going to be in the kingdom, and that they are on their way to being that. And it's our job to help fuel that. And the other one that I want to mention is Kristen Tucker has been doing so much when Keith was able to take the position at Bigsby, that left a vacancy here because Keith was over not only our youth minister, our second minister, but he's over VBS. You talk about a vacancy. I haven't coordinated VBS in a long time, and I remember one thing, it's an enormous job. To do, you need a lot of help. And so Kristen came to me very quickly and said, I will help coordinate, not like I'll be a guide or, you know, give me a job, but I will help on this level. And then Zach comes in just in the nick of time, and we need all the help we can get. Poor guy, if he looks tired, he should be, because he's working hard. This will be a hard week. When Kristen was in the youth group, when I was a youth minister, I saw her as a 14-year-old teenager. I didn't see her as a servant and a soldier in the kingdom of God, what she would be. When we look into these young eyes, we're looking into powerful forces on God's team, right? Powerful. They have a heart for God, and they have gifts that God will give them and has given them, and they are made in His image, and they will be soldiers in His kingdom. And we have to remember, I'm the worst at it, so join me. I have to remember, these are young soldiers. They're young soldiers growing up. And just like Samuel, the great things that he became and did for God, so will these youngsters. And that's my message for you today, church, is just what we're doing this week. You talk about a privilege. It may not always feel like a privilege. It may test us. It may drain us. When it comes Thursday night, by the way, no one's in the mood to clean up, but we somehow clean up all this at the end of the week after we're wore out. But what we do this week with these young minds, you talk about a privilege, because these are potentially future soldiers in God's kingdom. So we're planting seeds, and we're going to pray for God to water them and shine His favor on them. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. And I've been notified that we have two that are going to join God's kingdom and have their sins washed away in just a minute. So I want to give you a little joyful heads up about that. I'm excited. But may we see young people, may we believe in them, and may we fan the flame that God puts in them. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, and if you have a need this morning, we'd love to stop and help you with that, to pray with you or whatever your need is. And for any who want to join these two and have their sins washed away and join God's kingdom today, we'd ask that you come and let us help you as we stand and sing.